This episode is brought to you by CloudPano.com. Adding more revenue to your business is simple. Offer more value. With CloudPano, you can create 360 tours and present them to your clients quickly and efficiently. It only takes 5 minutes to create a VR tour with CloudPano.com, and your clients will be thrilled. You can now avoid monthly fees with their new lifetime license option. For a limited time, you can save $100 on a lifetime license using the code SHOOTINGSPACES at checkout. Join the movement and join CloudPano today.
This is Shooting Spaces with Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. I'm Rich Baum from Sacramento, California.
And Brian Berkowitz here from New York.
And we want to welcome you to another edition of Ask the Guys. Thanks for joining us. And as we always start off, how are you doing, Brian?
I am good. I am very good. It's a little slow this time of year, but I've had a fun week, as I've told you about it. My assistant dropped my MacBook Pro on the floor this past week, so it's been exciting.
What do you say? Did you just look at each other?
Well, my client was standing right there.
That's so good for your assistant.
So it was good, very good for my assistant. So obviously I kept my composure and I said, all right, no problem. Let's just move on. We got to get our shots done. And then I very nicely gave it to him in the parking lot when we were leaving. but I was cordial. It was honestly an accident, and obviously he didn't mean to do it.
Yeah.
But $800 worth of damage later, knock on wood, thank God for insurance. But it's a little scuffed up, and there's a nice crack down my LCD screen, and it's a 2-month-old laptop, MacBook Pro, which makes it even worse. So,
well, let me ask you, since we're on that subject, why are you using a laptop? I've assumed you're tethered. Is that correct? You're not using it wirelessly.
I am. Using CamRanger. Yeah, CamRanger has a desktop app.
So you're using it so you can edit on site in front of the client?
So when I'm doing client collaboration on site, they're not looking at my little iPad mini, which is what I use for real estate photography. So it's a big, I have a 16-inch screen. It's a bigger screen. It allows them to see a little bit better.
Yeah.
You know, when I go over, you know, for instance, staging options with them and I say, what do you think? What do you think? Mm-hmm. I don't want them to look at a little tiny iPad mini. So, unfortunately learned the hard way. Let's put it this way. Because of this, I'm going to change my workflow a little bit and change the way I work. Because this MacBook Pro is my one and only laptop. So I do all my editing on with it at home. I have a little dock that I plug it into for a 32-inch screen. And then I take it if I have to edit on the road. And then I've been taking it with me, obviously, to shoot also. From a tethering perspective. So my wife brought up a very interesting point to me after this happened and said, you know, this is your only computer. You think it's a good idea to bring this on set with you with people running around, equipment running all over the place and all this? And I said, that's a very valid point. So from now on, this MacBook, once fixed, which is going to hopefully be going to the Apple Store right after we finish this recording, will not leave my hands anymore. It'll be used just for editing at home or on the road for me. And I'm going to purchase, or I did purchase yesterday, a used iPad Pro 13-inch, which I'm going to be used to tether from now, wirelessly tether from now on non-real estate shoots to have that bigger screen for the same thing.
How much did that run you?
Cost me $500 used. It's not the brand new one. It's second generation. But I'm literally not going to install anything on this iPad but CamRanger. So I didn't feel like I needed to spend $1,200 on the brand new version. I got a graded A condition is what it said. iPad Pro 2 or second generation, 13-inch. And I'm gonna get like a little bracket or clamp to like clamp it onto the same stand I used to put my laptop on and just do it that way. So we'll see how that goes. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's not as big of an investment if something happens to it, God forbid. And with the iPad too, I can put like an OtterBox case or one of those things where I don't have to worry if it falls or anything like that. So
I can't imagine. I use an iPad mini for tethering on when I'm doing real estate and shoots. I just can't imagine walking around with a 13-inch iPad. That's great for seeing some things, but it kind of limits you for, it's kind of heavy and big, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm going to put it on a stand. I'm not going to walk around with it. So it's not going to be dangling from my neck. I'm going to.
What do you do for real estate? I mean, you
for real estate, I'm iPad Mini. For real estate, my iPad Mini, I just hold it.
Okay.
I went with the iPad because it actually fits in my hand. That's why I went with the smaller.
Understand.
One. Understand. Cool. So like I use the stand for my laptop, the same thing. I'm just going to have a little stand with a little clamp and just keep it up there. We'll see how it goes.
Knock on wood. If people look at my videos, I've been putting out videos for 5 years. I've been using the same iPad for 5 or 7 years. And it's just, part of me wants to upgrade for some reason, but the other part of me is like, I don't think I would get anything out of it. So
sure, no, yeah. Did you see, by the way, that I think Brandon wrote on one of the groups, the dates for the PFRE conference coming up?
I did the very beginning of November.
Yeah.
Well, what's the matter?
11th and 12th, I think.
Yeah. Is that a problem?
No, I'm just saying.
Are you busy? Should we change
it? It is my son's birthday that day.
You can't come, man.
I don't know. We'll have to figure that out. But
And he's been putting out a lot of, Brandon's been putting out a lot of ideas and asking for people. And there may be some options for workshops and extracurricular activities. So it's going to be pretty pretty exciting. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I think after last year, I think Brandon got a lot of good, positive feedback. And I think this year is actually going to be geared a little bit more towards real estate photography from a technique standpoint and even from a business standpoint. Whereas last year was a lot of motivational. It was a lot of, we talked about personal projects and different stuff. This year, I think it sounds like he's going to dive right into technique and all that type of stuff. So
yeah,
pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff.
And we also, we want to announce our new webinar, don't we?
We do. Okay. Go ahead, man.
I put you right under pressure. Yeah. We have a new webinar coming up March 26th. So we're about a month away. It's going to be a Thursday evening, which I think what we've always done was Thursday evenings. I guess we find that's the best time. The week's winding down. And it's going to be just you, Rich, or not just you, but you and I. And it's going to be real estate photography editing. You're just going to be covering a ton of stuff as far as strictly the post-production side of things. So,
It's also going to be, it's about editing, and it's going to be 2 full hours. So it's going to be jam-packed with information, but it's going to be, as I'm showing editing and showing images, I'm also going to be talking about, from conception of a shot, from putting it where you put your tripod to how you think about where you put your stuff and then where you put your lighting and what shots you get, everything to the very end, to your editing process. So it's going to be not only dealing with editing, but there's going to be a lot of information on composition, on just dealing with certain things. So it's going to be really full of information. Really excited about it.
And I think the hands-on portion though will be really cool because we're going to cover a lot of the techniques that you are known to use all the time. You talk about them all the time in your YouTube channel, for instance. Let the ambient do the heavy lifting, which is, a technique that you swear by. And then, we'll talk a little bit about flash ambient blending or flambient, as some people call it, and a bunch of different stuff. I think we're going to touch on with some window pulls using darken mode. So a lot of the techniques that you're known for, we're going to go in and literally show your screen in Lightroom and Photoshop, and you're going to teach people how to utilize these tricks.
Yeah, I tell people the first best thing for learning, in my opinion, is to either shadow somebody, be on site with a person, or go to a hands-on workshop. Obviously, those are the two things that are preferable to get the most information and to be able to use that information in your workflow and to really see it, internalize it, and understand it. Second one is a coaching session where you've got one-on-one and you're dealing remotely, but you're able to do each thing and you're able to talk about it and you're able to stop if you need a little extra time or a little understanding. And this will be like the third best option because it's going to be very much like a coaching session, but it's going to be a coaching session at the fraction of the cost. So it's going to be 2 hours at a really reasonable price, and it's going to be able to ask questions. Brian, you're going to be fielding questions for me. And as I'm doing things, I'm going to be answering questions and showing things. And if somebody wants to see something specific, you know, we're going to try and get to everybody. I think we're going to limit it to 100 people,
correct,
as usual. And that really hasn't been a problem, though. I haven't been inundated by questions. On most of our webinars, I would like even more questions to pop up. But it'll be a really good opportunity to see what's going on, and much better than watching a YouTube video. There's no comparison. So.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I think, you know, one thing we always stress on these webinars is the ability for the participants to ask questions in real time. And, you know, if someone's watching one of your YouTube videos and watching how to edit a technique, when they go later and they try the technique using their own images and they have a question, well, you know, they can post a comment, but they got to wait for your review and for your reply. And you can't get as in depth as when you're doing it in front of the screen. So I think
it's a disconnect. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I think this is definitely a much better option. And we're going to provide the source files as well that you're going to use to edit. So I think that's a really cool thing. Whenever we've done these type of editing webinars, for instance, the Twilights, where we provided the source files, people have told us that they'll put the webinar up on one screen with Photoshop on the other, and they'll actually do the work and the editing work while you teach. So I think that's an important factor because, you know, it's not people learning and then having to go back later that night or the next day and try to remember some of the techniques. You're doing it and you're learning while you're actually teaching. So.
And if anybody knows how I do my YouTube channel and how I teach, I'm pretty redundant. I'm pretty slow and steady and over and over and over again, because this can be a challenging situation for many people, especially people just getting into learning how to mask and Photoshop and layer and such. But we'll be doing some great topics, some great stuff. And the best part is you'll be able to take all of this stuff and directly use it the next day. I mean, it's not like advanced concepts that we want for details photography or, you know, business stuff for doing really high-end new building stuff. This is going to be in the trenches, real estate photography. And we're not talking about, we're going to have some, sure we'll be using images from really, really nice houses, but this is not going to be geared towards luxury. This is going to be geared towards practicality and what we need to deal with each and every day. Because sure, it's fun to work on luxury homes, but it's really important to get a good basis for this. So it's not only for beginners though, but we're going to have a lot of information that will be, you know, we can all learn things at all levels. And so there's going to be something there for everyone. And also, I'm going to try and figure out a way that we can do a poll. If you have a specific technique that you want to incorporate, we can put it down there. And if we get a lot of people that want one thing over another, because I've got a list of, what did I send you? A list of probably 35 techniques.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just went through my YouTube channel and just went over all these things that I've worked on over the years, and that they can all be done over and over again, because each room is a different scenario. So it's going to be a really good opportunity, and I'm really looking forward to it. And you can buy it after the, if you can't make it, you can certainly buy it after the fact and watch it at any time you want. And if you go, you also get to have it later, and you can use the source files and use the webinar to do it in your own time, so you can spend more time there.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. The people ask that all the time. If you attend live, will they have access to watch it after the fact? Mm-hmm. Yes, we do provide it available for everybody after the fact as well. And for people who don't know yet, I'm assuming everyone knows at this point, for our live webinars, we do also offer it after the fact if you missed it. But, you know, you do get a discount for watching it live. So if you want to save a couple of bucks, definitely watch it live. You'll save some money, and you'll have the ability to ask questions. Whereas if you watch it after, you know, you kind of lose that ability. So cool.
Well, I'm having mic problems.
No, I hear you.
Yeah, you can hear me through my laptop. Oh. Hold on a second.
All right, whatever it is. While you fix that though, why don't we play the Ask the Guys question?
Hold on. I won't be able to hear Ask the Guys.
You can't hear me?
No, I can hear you through my laptop. I guess I'm just going to do that. Hold on. Okay, I'm going old school. Okay.
All right. Let me play the Ask the Guys. Hang on. Here we go.
Hello, Rich and Mike. My name is Ralph Amesqua. I live in Central California, and I'm just getting into the real estate photography business. I had just finished a college course of photography. I've been practicing a lot on my own. However, I'm really anxious to get into the market of real estate photography. and I'm looking to get started. So I'm wondering if I should start with a real estate company that has already got started, or should I just branch out on my own and start from scratch and learn by trial and error? Take your question on the air. Thank you.
All right. Rich and Mike, I appreciate him calling me Mike, but we'll just kind of skip over that part. But thank you, Ralph. That actually is a good question.
Chopped liver. Yeah.
Hey, look, yeah, you know what?
Real good question. I like how he asked, like it's NPR. I'll take my question off air. You know, it's like we don't have any option. So it's not live.
Exactly. But no, that actually is a very good question, because when you're starting out, I feel like people, you know, especially when you're learning, you're kind of torn, and, you know, you want to go out and build your own business, but you're not, it sounds like he's not confident enough in his work to go out and do that. And working for other people has a lot of pros and cons too. And I've done both myself, and I think you have also, Rich. You've shot for other real estate firms as well. So, what's your opinion on that? Do you have an opinion?
Okay. Great question. And I know there's a lot of people out there. I don't really deal with it nowadays, but there's a lot of people out there.
Your mic is back.
Oh, hold on a second. My mic's working again. Hold on. Technical issues. Yeah, I got this adapter for my laptop. These stupid laptops. You can't. You got to use dongles. But I got a new thing in the cable, and the way they work, I hate that. I hate this new dongle thing for Mac. It's just crazy. Anyway, okay. So great subject. Thanks. And Mike, is it Mike?
Yes. Ralph.
Ralph. Okay.
I'm Mike.
No. You're Mike. Ralph, good to meet you. Okay, here's the thing. I've been doing photography. I left my old career and went back to photography in 2007. So I've been doing it a while. And when I started doing all kinds of shooting. I realized I had to make money and I had to do it quick. So I basically got up to speed on many genres. I started doing weddings. I started doing sports. I started doing portraits, babies, you name it. And then I started shooting buildings. And I really like that. And of all the genres that I've shot for, I work for other companies, but I don't work in this same kind of thing that you're talking about, except one company I did work for. When I got started in real estate photography, I was looking at opportunities. I mean, I went through Craigslist. I was looking through opportunities from, what was it called? OBO or OBO. Anyway,
there was tons of those. Miro is the new one now.
Several companies, and I'll tell you something, I would have taken a job from them, and it didn't happen. But I did get a job, not a job, I was an independent contractor, and it actually was a really great opportunity. It was called Everyscape, and Everyscape, we used to do 360s for Yellow Pages, AT&T Yellow Page, and that was a really, so they would send me jobs. And I'd take the job if I wanted it. I'd go shoot it. They would do the cold call, but I'd have to interact with the client. I'd go out, I'd shoot it. I'd come home and upload the images and then go on. And I worked on, I was doing always just slightly part-time. It was no way full-time. But actually, they were a really good company. For one, it was good. Two, they paid, which was really important. If you're going to work for a company, you want to make sure they're going to get paid. So maybe do some research. But the third one was, it gave me experience in 360 photography, but that's irrelevant. It gave me experience in doing this for other people, doing this with clients, learning equipment, learning the technicalities of having to show up and have it work right away. Learned a lot of really good stuff from it. And they were actually really good. And I think I worked with them for 5 years. Yeah. And it would just be like, I would do 1 to 25 shoots a week for them. And it was my own time, my own schedule. So it depends on the company you're looking for. I don't even know what's out there for you. But a couple of things I'd say to really watch out for, and I didn't really have to worry about this because I didn't really care what they did with my images. I didn't need to keep rights of my images. I gave them away to them because what am I going to do with 360 photos? But I kind of feel that way in general real estate photography. I don't want to get up on my soapbox. And a lot of people disagree with me. I don't want to get on my soapbox, though, and worry about my rights, and these are my photos, and giving away things, because some things just aren't important to me, and I totally value that in other areas, but you know, you got to really do the judgment on your own. Another thing too is you got to watch out, and I'm not a lawyer, I don't play one on TV or on a podcast, and we're definitely dealing with situations that we can't be responsible for saying, giving you advice. But I know that there are issues sometimes with having exclusivity with non-competes with companies that will maybe have you work for them for a couple of years or have you work for them, but you then cannot approach or you cannot deal with anybody you've worked with, anybody. It's a non-compete. You can look that up. And Brian, maybe you can, or Mike, maybe you can put the add on this, but it's really, it is something that can pigeonhole you. If you then go out on your own, you're limited to what you can do client-wise. So you've got to really start from scratch. And that's a big deal.
Yeah, I think I think it depends on the level of non-compete, because mm-hmm. you can have a non-compete where you won't poach any of their clients, which is probably the best of the situations. But there are also non-competes where you literally will not compete with them as far as the type of work you're producing. And if you sign that type of non-compete, you know, if you're working for another company as a real estate photographer and they make you sign a full non-compete that says if you leave us, you can't go out and be a real estate photographer or be our competition
in your area.
Yeah, our competition. Then you're kind of stuck for the length of that contract, at least. So, mm-hmm. I know of some companies that make all their photographers sign non-competes, and I know of a few that don't. So, you know, you have to kind of sit down and weigh the options of doing that, but. I don't know if you finished your thought or not, but
I just wanted to add one thing. You know, it could be a lot of pros. You've got almost like guaranteed work. You're not having to do a lot of the business usually. You're not having to do the getting clients. You may not have to do the editing, you know. But remember, you got to look at it, what you're getting paid. Look at it for the time. Look at it too with the investment in training and the investment in equipment. They may need you to invest up to, you know, $3,000-$5,000 in equipment. And so, you know, how does that pan out there? And are they going to help you with that or whatever? But I know there's some great, you know, there's opportunities, Tour Factory, you know, Tour Factory. I know a few, Scott DuBose, I don't know if he still works with Tour Factory, but he's high-end photographer and it really worked out well for him. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what's out there, but you got to watch it. And again, it may look really enticing that, I can take pictures for a living. But I know a lot of these companies, especially if you get them on Craigslist and such, maybe paying pennies. And after driving, after equipment, remember, you can't use a camera forever. You're going to have to replace your camera after the shutter goes. Just remember, look at the overall and is it going to really make you money? But then again, experience is worth something and things like that.
This episode is brought to you by HD Photo Hub. With modern marketing tools for your clients and a powerful back office to help you stay organized and efficient, HD Photo Hub is the secret weapon of successful real estate photographers everywhere. When you register with promo code SHOOTINGSPACES, you'll get a free total marketing kit for your first property. Check them out at hdphotohub.com. HD Photo Hub, where great photos become powerful marketing. That's hdphotohub.com. Yeah, I think the best possible situation in a case like this is to try and negotiate a non-exclusivity agreement with them, where you can go and you can shoot for these companies, but they still will allow you to build up your own clientele and try and build your own business on the side, because that's obviously going to give you the best of both worlds. Now, me personally, I actually have that with a local company out here on Long Island. I have my own business. I've been running my own business for years, since 2009. but there is a volume company out here that called me knowing that I run my own business and says, hey, when we have overload, can you come and do some shoots for us?
Yeah.
And I do them now still. A lot, most of the time I do drone work for them and some video work because like you said, Rich, they don't pay very well. But nevertheless, for me, I don't have a non-compete. They know, they understand that I run my own business. But when they have too many jobs or, you know, one or two specific clients that they'd rather, for some reason or another, somebody else deal with, like myself, they call me and they have me handle it. So, you know, you can try and make the best of both worlds. And I think, you know, if you're starting out, the problem with when you're starting out and you want to try to go on your own and you're still learning and you're not where you want to be yet, then a lot of, you're not going to retain a lot of those clients, unfortunately. So working for another company where maybe quality control is not as big of an expectation as it would be with your own business, I think will give you the opportunity to kind of groom your style and your work into what you want it to be. So then when you go out and do your own work, you're there already. So, you know, as you said, Rich, there's a lot of pros and cons to it. You're definitely not going to make as much money. And it's definitely a lot more of a hustle. You know, when you're working at these lower rates, you know, to make a decent living, you got to shoot these 5-6 houses a day. And, you know, I know a lot of people out there, a lot of our listeners, we hear it all the time. People do it. You know, people shoot 20, 25, 30 houses.
But you can make a decent living and you make some good money, but at what cost? So it's like per hour, you're not making a lot of money. But
yeah, but also it's, I mean, when you're shooting that much, I mean, how long can you possibly sustain that? No, I'm serious.
No, I have a lot of, I can't believe some people go out there and shoot as many houses as they can. Because every so often I'll shoot 7 or 9 in a day. I mean, that's crazy for me. But these guys do it every day. I can't even imagine.
There's like 2 or 3, maybe 4 times a year where I'll shoot 10 houses in a week. And at the end of that week, I'm burnt. I'm just done. I don't know how, you know.
Yeah, it's a different thing. It's a different kind of level. No,
it
is.
And I commend the people that do it. It's a hustle. But, you know, I would just offer some friendly advice for people who do that many shoots, you know, breathe, because that's a lot of work. And, you know, you don't want to wear your body down in the course of a year or two to the point where, you know, you just can't do it anymore because your body's just breaking down on you, you know? So, nevertheless, I think we got a little off track, but yeah, when you're doing work for these other like studios, if you want to call them that, you're going to have to work a lot more. You're going to have to do a lot more hustle because you're getting paid less per job. But coming along with getting paid less per job, like you said, Rich, is you have a lot less responsibility. When I do work for this other company, I go out, you know, now I'll schedule it directly with the realtor based on my own schedule. So they won't schedule it for me. But if they get a lead from an agent, they'll forward it to me. I'll call the agent. I'll schedule it on my time. Go out, take the pictures, send them the raw files. I have nothing to do with the editing. My direct interactions are literally just scheduling and on the shoot itself. So as far as them booking, they deal with the company. As far as editing, they deal with the company. As far as invoicing and billing, they deal with the company. So I don't have to deal with any of that. So you are getting paid a little less, but you also have a lot less responsibility. So, I mean, obviously for me or anybody else that runs their own company, they're more willing to accept that higher rate for the extra and added responsibility, but it has its pros and cons. But yeah, I mean, to sum it all up, I think when you're starting out, I think that's a good way to get a lot of experience under your belt while still getting paid for your work. Because we all know, we've said this before, and I'm not opposed to it. To working for free to get some opportunities. And if you can work even for less money, or I don't want to say cheap, but if you can work for less than you want to be making, that's better than working for free. And you're getting the experience under your belt and really fine-tuning your craft to the point when you want to go out on your own, you are ready to do that as long as you have no non-compete or all your legalities are worked out.
Yeah. And you know, I assume you went to college or community college. I think you said community college, Jeff, for, I assume you went for general photography. So you know what? You can supplement it with, you can find one place that can do part-time working, shooting for somebody. And you can do, learn to shoot weddings, learn to shoot. I mean, I did it all and I love doing it all. And I still shoot weddings and sports and things like that. So there are a lot of opportunities out there. And you know, you might get out there and not like working with real estate photography. You know, it's something you can't tell until you do it for a while. So just don't look like this. Look like this. It's a wonderful opportunity to learn photography. So
yeah, and if you need experience, you know, how many times have we said this? And I think everyone we've ever spoken to said this. You know, when you're starting out, shoot your house, shoot your neighbor's house, shoot your friend's house, shoot your family's house, shoot as many houses as you can. And that'll give you as much experience as you possibly can get learning technique. And obviously when you're doing that type of work, you're not going to get the experience of being on site with a client and talking to a client because you know, you need experience there too. That's a big factor to it. Learning how to deal with agents, learning how to deal with the client on site, learning what's appropriate to say, what's not appropriate to say. I've heard many stories of real estate photographers who were just rude to their agents. So, you know, that comes with experience also in learning how to be a professional, but at least from the photography and technique standpoint, you can just go out and shoot. Everyone knows every people with houses and, you know, you can probably count 20 people, you know, right off the bat with a house that looks nice enough that you can go out and just shoot for the experience. So go out, learn, you know, maybe try working for one of these companies and, you know, get the experience while getting paid, learning to deal with these clients. And then when you're eventually comfortable enough where you think you've nailed down, you know, your sales pitch and nailed down how to interact with clients and you know how you want to tackle invoicing and delivery and everything else that comes with it, then go out and do it. I mean, you're going to make more money and, you know, it's going to free up your time a little bit and all that stuff. But you know, it's all worth it, I think.
And be sure to check out the upcoming editing webinar because that would be perfect for someone like you that is just getting into it and is going to have to learn. I mean, there's no way around it. No matter, even if you don't do your own editing, you're still going to have to learn a lot of the things that we're going to be going over. So,
I feel like even for people that don't do their own editing and for real estate photography, I don't do my own editing anymore, but you need to know how to do it. I feel like that's part of the learning curve is to be able to do it yourself and master it yourself before you're willing to let other people do it. Because if you don't know how to do it, then you don't know what you want. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know what you want, then how are you going to relay that to an editor? You know, this is how I want my images to look or whatever, if you don't really know where you're at yet. So definitely go out and master the editing. And once you're confident in that and you feel like, you know, you have enough flexibility in what you're charging to outsource that, you know, that work, then sure. If that works for you, I do it now, all the time on real estate. So.
Okay.
Cool.
I think we beat that horse. Okay.
Yeah, no, look, you know what? It's a good question that we haven't tackled yet. And, I think we've probably spoken about, you know, these volume shops before. But you know, we should probably have, what's his name on again?
Vince. What's his company?
VHT.
VHT.
And I know he's been on a Facebook Live. I don't think he's been on the podcast before. Yeah. And he actually lives a couple of minutes from me. But it would probably be good to have him on and kind of get a perspective from somebody who actually owns one of these nationwide volume studios and kind of explain, you know, how from his, not that, you know, we have to take sides and say one is better than the other, but why there are benefits to, you know, photographers who work for him. And I think he has something like 1200 photographers across the country, something mm-hmm. like that. So obviously there are a ton of people that want to work for him. So, you know, explain what the benefits are from a photographer standpoint to go out and work for one of these studios.
Yeah, and when we met so many of his photographers in Vegas, they were stoked. I mean, you know, just it was really something that you know, there's definitely benefits to that to it. I can't tell you the specifics, but it's just, and you know, you can do a ton of research online. I mean, there's just get creative with your searching, go in the groups and ask or whatever. But there's a lot of stuff out there, and I'm sure you're going to find pros and cons. So.
Yeah, the biggest complaint I think I hear from other photographers who say, how am I going to compete with these volume guys? Excuse me. How am I going to compete with these volume guys with what they're charging? Is you say to them, well, you don't have to compete. You're offering something different. You know, they are a volume studio. You're a boutique studio. You're offering yourself. So you don't have to compete with them. You know, you're charging more, but you're offering them a completely different service. So it's not only about the photography. It's the full package or the full experience. So, All right, cool. So that about wraps it up. Just want to remind everyone, as we mentioned earlier, I don't even think I mentioned the link earlier for the webinar. But if you want to register for the webinar we spoke about, it's shootingspaces.net/editing. And we'll post it everywhere, so you'll be able to find it anywhere you want. But shootingspaces.net/editing. Registration is open. Again, limited to 100 people. I'm sorry. Limited to 100 people. So make sure you get in. All of our webinars have sold out. So we would hope that this will sell out too. And make sure you get in before it sells out at the live discounted price versus the higher price later on after the fact.
And I really want to say one thing about this webinar is I will go in depth into these images, these edits, and I will show you. If you take away one or two little tips or tricks, I guarantee it's worth it. It's just something that, and I've even morphed a lot of my stuff. I've got a couple of techniques that I'm going to be doing that I don't have any videos out on that are really, really helpful. And every time I tell a coaching student, try this with this, they're like, oh, that's a great idea. And it really is. It's just things morph, although I've done the same technique for 5 years, pretty much. And it works for me. But you know, little changes here and there make it updatable. So it's good stuff.
Cool. I also want to remind everyone, we released that contract template that we've been working with Rachel Brenke on for the last few months since PFRE. So you know, I think we plan on having her on in the next couple of weeks. We haven't pinpointed a date yet, but we're going to have her on hopefully. But for people that want to start taking their legal side of their business very seriously, it's a contract available for real estate photographers that covers a ton of different things that you know, from pets on site to unsafe conditions to, you know, delivery to invoicing to usage rights, everything. So if that's something you're interested in, want to make sure that you're doing everything the proper way, again, we're not attorneys, you know, we definitely suggest and want everyone to make sure that they're covering their asses and doing things the proper way. So you can go to shootingspaces.net/contract and you can check out that real estate photography template that we've released with Rachel Brenke. And it comes in a Word document, which is great because you can kind of fine tune it based on your business model or how you work and based on your jurisdiction, if you have specific laws in your state or country for that matter that require different types of terms. So definitely check that out too. And with that, I think we've about done it, Rich.
Okay, we have done it. Please remember to subscribe to Shooting Spaces podcast and check out our website, shootingspaces.net. And we got a lot of good stuff there. And we look forward to seeing you on the next one. So
yeah, and submit your Ask the Guys. We need some more. We always need some more. So there's a lot of questions out there. So ask them. You know, we've got a couple more Ask the Guys coming up. And then we're out of questions. So we need some of your questions.
So from Brian Berkowitz or Matt Berkowitz, Mike Berkowitz, sorry, Mike. Mike Berkowitz and Rich Ditchbaum in Sacramento saying, go out there and go shoot some really nice spaces.
iGUIDE looked at the market and realized there was no one offering laser accurate measurements for property listings at an affordable price. The iGUIDE IMS 5 camera was the answer. iGUIDE makes it easy for real estate photographers to quickly capture laser-accurate room measurements and square footage calculations, immersive 3D tours, detailed floor plans, and offer complete listing solution to their real estate agents and brokers. Visit goiGUIDE.com and enter promo code SSWINTER2020 in the reference number section to get your first three standard iGUIDEs free when you purchase the iGUIDE IMS 5 camera system.
This has been Shooting Spaces. For more episodes, visit shootingspacespodcast.com and visit our education site at shootingspaces.net.